Thursday Night Tailgate, where the spotlight is always on the positive. Tune in Thursday night from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time to hear your favorite NFL legends, players, and coaches sharing their stories. Now back to Chris and Bob.
I wouldn't joke about anything else that happened to you tonight.
All right, now back with us here on Thursday Night Tailgate is AT&T Sports Net host and TNT Hall of Famer Paul Alexander. Pittsburgh sports fans can hear and see Paul hosting pre- and post-game shows for the Pirates and the Penguins on AT&T Sportsnet Pittsburgh. He also covers the Steelers. He's been a fantastic contributor to us here on the show and a guy we always look forward to and enjoy spending time with. And we are honored he is back again with us tonight here on Thursday Night Tailgate. Hey, Paul, Chris, and Bob, thanks for coming back on the show.
Gentlemen, my pleasure. How have you been?
Oh, we're fantastic. How are things going for you, my friend?
I can't complain. It's just silly to do so, and I have nothing to complain about. So it would be an exercise in futility.
Good for you. So, Paul, I want to start out our time with you tonight by getting your thoughts on what you're hearing and what you're seeing from Steelers training camp so far. How do you feel? Is this a team we should all be getting excited about?
I don't think there's any question. The only thing that could prevent this team from being aside from Jacksonville, a legitimate contender for another trip, maybe to a Super Bowl, would be the drama. There's just so many, you know, the Le'Veon Bell, you know, Antonio Brown, is as hard as he works and as great as he is, there's just always something a little off with him, with the disappearing, you know, not showing up for practice. And talent-wise, if they shore up a linebacker, that will replace, you know, Ryan Shazier with some sort of, not necessarily that the spectacular play that he presented, but just something solid in there and that, you know, that inside spot. I really believe this is, you know, one of the class acts in the AFC. I don't think there's any question. I really think that New England is not going to be a factor this year. I think that's finally starting to disintegrate a little bit without, you know, a salary cap situation. It's not that limited in terms of how you keep things together. You know, New England's not going to be who they've been. So I really believe that the AFC's wide open. And I believe right now, and again, we're very early. We're talking about most rosters around 90. We have to pare down to 53. So while I'm actually watching the Steelers play right now, leading Philadelphia, I think, 15-7 or 8 or whatever, strange score. We have a ways to go before we know. I'd like to see the final 53 before I get a real sense of who each team is. But they are a legitimate contender in the AFC, no doubt.
So a couple of things based on what you just said, Paul. First of all, obviously the thing that sticks out is Patriots not a factor this season. Why do you think they're not going to be a factor?
I just think now that the rift, I think there's a legitimate rift between Brady and Belichick. You know, the Garofalo thing is real. That involved ownership, that involved Kraft. You know, Chuck Nolan, and I know, Chris, you're a big fan of the old Steeler guys. And Chuck Nolan would say, if you're contemplating retirement, just retire. And now, you know, the fact that Gronk has, you know, talked about how limited his years are now, and he's really thinking about his future. You know, that's a lot of guys starting to check out. I think Belichick, and one thing I will say to the Steelers fans in particular that aren't a big fan of Belichick, all Belichick is Chuck Knoll in this modern era. Chuck Knoll created a culture. Chuck Knoll was in charge. Chuck Knoll was a dictator. Chuck Knoll didn't take anything from anybody, and that's exactly who Bill Belichick is, and I think that's still the one difference between the Steelers and the Patriots is the culture. And I really believe it's just starting to disintegrate a little bit. When Brady was all on board with the way Belichick did things, then there's really no reason not to put them right up there as a legitimate Super Bowl contender every year. Just those two. They're that impressive. but I think there's a rift there now. That's why I'll say I think the Patriots are done.
And something you alluded to a moment ago, culture with the Steelers, and that's always been a big thing, right, throughout, you know, since the 70s. And the thing with the Rooney family and all that is just fantastic stuff. We always hear people sing the praises of that. Now, where question has been raised, and James Harrison did it, right, a couple of weeks ago, talking about Tomlin.
He sure did.
And the difference between the Patriots and the Steelers is the way that Belichick runs his team, which is what you just talked about a moment ago, in stark contrast to the way Tomlin has been handling the Steelers. Do you think there's any validity in what Harrison's been saying?
Well, I mean, he lived it. I mean, James Harrison made the greatest defensive play in Super Bowl history against the Cardinals. Should have been probably the Super Bowl MVP, although the catch that Antonio Holmes made, I think, you know, it's always what happens toward the end that it seems to solidify those kind of honors. But yeah, James Harrison, and again, to kind of straighten that out, both parties did not conduct themselves in a great way. James Harrison did not want to be an insurance policy for the Steelers last year. And when they didn't play him and he didn't get a hat on game day, that's what he became. He was only going to play and only going to get, you know, an opportunity to participate if there was an injury. So the Steelers kind of were disingenuous in how they approached his contract. So I didn't blame him for going to the Patriots. I was relieved that New England did not win the Super Bowl, because that that would have been a little too bitter, I think, of a pill to swallow for the Steelers. But I think the points that he made about the differences between Tomlin and Belichick are very real. I love Mike Tomlin. I think he expects his players, who are all adults, to conduct themselves like adults. But keep in mind, the elite athlete is treated differently from probably eighth or ninth grade. The rules don't apply to them. They're special. And if you don't rein that in, and like Bill Belichick does, keep in mind, he took in a Randy Moss. He took in a lot of players that other coaches couldn't handle and reined them in. And if they didn't fly right, they weren't going to be a part of what he did. Unfortunately, right now, the inmates run the asylum at most NFL camps. They're getting paid a lot more than the coach. They're the stars, and coaches get run out. You know, you can't fire the players. So what they do is they fire the coaches, and the coaches know that. So I don't think there's many cultures out there. And I think now, and the reason I'm kind of declaring the Patriots done, I think there's now a rift between Kraft, Belichick, and Brady. So that triumvirate of excellence has now been kind of disrupted. I know the Rooneys are still amazing, but they let Mike Tomlin run the football team. And he and Kevin Colbert do a great job. But the players now, they go to the beat of their own drummer. You know, they show up when they want, they do what they want. And I have a real dear friend now that's, you know, on the Steelers staff. And he's come from the college game, and he just can't believe the culture. That, I mean, think about, we were talking, I'm in an event right now, a real nice charity event, where just talking a little sports and a little football, and it's so different now. When I used to go to Steeler camp in the 80s, early 80s is when I start covering the Steelers, and they did Oklahoma drills. They did two-a-days, full pads. It was honest-to-goodness football every day at camp. I understood why fans would pack St. Vincent College in Latrobe to see that. What they see now are guys in shorts running around, doing walkthroughs, just kind of making sure that no one gets hurt. You wonder why they can't tackle in the NFL right now? They never practice it. Granted, you have a four preseason schedule, where they actually do play football, but that's a very short sample to figure out if a guy can play NFL football or not. Draft a kid out of college, never seen him play a down in the NFL, and you have to make a very astute and quick evaluation of their potential without actually ever seeing them play a lot of football. It's very difficult. Football's very different now.
Bob, questions for Paul?
Paul, it leads perfectly into the couple questions I wanted to ask you about the modern athlete, and I'm just thinking about this whole Le'Veon Bell situation, and if Belichick was coaching him, how that might work out. But as far as him being in Pittsburgh, Paul, I mean, how close did these two sides get to a contract? Is there an incredible amount of disappointment in what's going on? And is it really, we're getting the feeling that this may be it for him in Pittsburgh? They might want to go out with a championship because it might be his last year there?
Yeah, I think that's the sense. The thing that really bothers me about Le'Veon, I love him as a player. I really do. I think he's probably, you know, certainly one of the top two or three backs in the NFL. Him out of the backfield as a receiver is incredible. But he's not worth $6 or $7 million per year above the next highest paid running back in the NFL. He's just not that different. And with a cap situation, you can't pay that position that much money and expect to fill out your roster in a championship form. And the thing that bothers me about Le'Veon, even though he's a great worker, had a little trouble early, had the little weed incident, but I think he's really flown right since then. Every time he speaks, he never talks about a championship. He never talks about his teammates. He never talks about the team. It's all about him. And that's the culture we live in. It's a me, look at me kind of world that we live in. And football still is the ultimate team sport. You know, you figure the three elements, offense, defense, special teams. If one single person, either defensively or offensively, breaks down, so does the whole play. So I really think that Le'Veon Bell, as great as he is as a player, just his overall attitude and approach is not championship caliber. You have to play for one another. You have to sacrifice for the team. And that's how you win championships. And this guy will never do that. I think when he touches the ball, he gives it his all. I think that his offseason workouts are legit. I think he shows up in tremendous shape. But I don't think he really puts the team and winning a championship above himself and his contract. And that, to me, is a real way to kind of sabotage the entire effort. And that's what I think. He is not a popular guy here in Pittsburgh right now. He's just not. I think that, you know, keep in mind, Hines Ward held out at some point. You know, the NFL without guaranteed contracts, if you outperform your contract, you have to hold out to get paid, you know, fair market value. I get that. Just keep in mind, if you have a player that you signed to a long-term deal that all of a sudden isn't the player that he used to be, you cut him. And, you know, the fans would say, he signed a contract. He's obligated to show up. You know what? Jason Gilden is the example I always use. The Steelers cut Jason Gilden. I think he had like $34 or $35 million left on a deal. But he wasn't as good as he was, so they cut him. And no one ever says anything, oh, the Steelers have to pay him that anyhow. No, they never look at it that way. So I get all of that. But at the same time, if there's not a, you know, I love Mike Tomlin's expression, you know, all oars in the water rowing in the same direction. If you don't have that, you're not going to win. You're not going to win a championship. You're not going to win a Super Bowl. It's too hard. It's the culture in which we live. It's social media. It's the negativity that we see on Twitter, the negativity we see in sports talk radio now. It's a different world. The team concept is not really what it used to be.
And Paul, one more. I mean, I want to talk to, since he was a former Steeler, I got to ask you what Chris asked me about Martavis Bryant. And heard earlier in the week, trouble with the playbook, not performing up to his abilities. Mr. Booten kind of softened his stance on that today, lauding his talents, etc. Is this guy really at a crossroads? And do you think a guy like Booten, an old style coach, can get this guy where he needs to be, Paul?
I don't believe so. What a shame. What a waste of a. I heard you mention earlier, Chris, that, you know, just his size, strength, speed, ability, the way he takes the top off of defense is incredible. But he's another guy that doesn't push himself. He's a guy that you can't count on. He's a guy that you can almost tell when he, you know, breaks the huddle, that he's not the primary receiver just by his body language. So John Gruden has his hands full with a guy like Martavis Bryant because it's like girls that are attracted to the bad boy. You know, they think that even though this guy has a horrible reputation, they're going to be the one that reins him in, and he's going to be a good guy and be cool and figure it out. Every coach feels the same when they see that abundance of talent, that natural ability, that unbelievable God-given skill. They think that their coaching and their ability to get through to somebody is going to change them. Martavis Bryant is not going to change. He's just not. So that's going to be a problem. If he shows up on a given day and feels like he's engaged and wants to participate, he'll be fantastic. Same guy on a different day that's not feeling it, he could be a complete liability.
Paul, one more before we let you go. And you and I both grew up watching those 1970s Pirates teams. And we have the privilege of having...
You know who I was hanging out with tonight, Chris? Chris, I just want to share. I just spent a good hour with Steve last tonight, who threw complete games, including Game 7 in 1971, to beat Baltimore. One of the nicest, classiest men I've ever met. So, yes, I can completely relate to the 70s Pirates who won World Series in 1971 and 1979. Yes.
And we have the privilege of having Al Oliver back on a little bit later tonight, and I want to get your memories of Al.
Well, he was the consummate hitter, career 300 hitter, absolutely just so tremendous in center field. He was one of those guys, I mean, there's not many guys left to throw like totally overhand. I mean, imagine a guy that just threw completely over the top. And that was Al Oliver. He didn't have Roberto Clemente's arm because no one else did either. But he had a good arm from center field, and Al Oliver covered that ground very well. And he was just one of the toughest outs in baseball. And as you know, as a human being, there's no better than Al Oliver. None.
Well, Paul, before we let you go, remind our listeners once again, how can they stay up to date with all the great things you're doing, my friend?
Well, check us out on AT&T Sportsnet, Pirates pre- and post-game. The Pirates still have a pulse. They're still alive and well. Well, maybe not well, but they're alive in that wild card race in the National League. I'm on Twitter on PAlexander44, and I think I put too much stuff on Facebook. I should probably back off that.
Well, Paul, it's always a thrill and a privilege for Bob and I to get to spend some time with you. Thank you for your time tonight coming back on the show. We hope you'll do it again soon. We'll get maybe a little bit later on in the season.
You guys are the absolute best. God bless both of you. I love the show. I love what you do. Keep it positive. Keep it rolling. And just keep doing what you're doing, guys.
Thank you, Paul.
Thanks a lot, Paul. Take care, my friend. All the best to you and your family. We look forward to catching up soon.
See you guys.
Take it easy.
See you, Paul. That is AT&T Sportsnet up in Pittsburgh host Paul Alexander. And to turn the tables a little on Paul, Bob, they don't come better than him.
You know, I just love the way he responds too, Chris, to questions. He'll give you his reasons, and he makes you think twice of what you might have been thinking about. And that's a tremendous journalist. And we get it from him every time he's on, and the time just flies by, doesn't it?
Yes, it really does. It's just like we just get started with him, and then we got to let him go. So hopefully we get to get him back here again real soon.